Thanks for listening to Shift Your Spirits. I'm Slade Robertson. For over 12 years, I've been a professional intuitive and personal development blogger. I try to talk about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It is Friday, June 8th, 2018, as I record this introduction. This is episode number 61, the first show of season 6 of the Shift Your Spirits podcast. I'm a little impressed with myself and that number at this moment in time. To those of you listening from the future where there are hundreds of episodes, I hope that makes us all smile a little bit. In this week's segment, I'm sharing some very specific personal information about how I work with my guides and work within the flow. That's coming up in just a few minutes. And as always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show. So be thinking about a question or a concern you have, hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. In personal news, may take me a few minutes to get through some personal news because I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Thanks to those of you who wrote in and said that you would love to hear reruns of classic episodes during my hiatus break week. And after walking into that thought only a few inches, I quickly saw why that is really probably not the solution I was hoping it would be. Now, a lot of major production shows that I listen to go on hiatus for weeks between their new episodes or the seasons that they drop, and it's not unheard of to have breaks. I cannot tell you how important it is to have just even one week where I don't have to go through the motions of putting the podcast out there. It's a small, tiny little break, but it feels really huge, especially when this is something that is an ongoing creative production. So I'm very grateful for those moments to catch up. It was really wonderful. This time it fell perfectly with my vacation. So I was able to come back from vacation and it be my hiatus week when I got back, which was really great. So anyway, the problem is that, you know, in order to play a classic episode for you, which means I would go back and pull a segment on whatever topic it was that was extremely popular, in order to put that up and put it in the feed in such a way that it appears for you as a new episode during that hiatus week, I have to go through all of the motions of creating another episode. I still have to do the introduction. I still have to put a new file into the system. I have to upload everything, create metadata for it, show notes, schedule it. You know, at that point, we're just talking about the difference between another 20 minutes of me talking about something and I would have a whole new episode. So that kind of defeats the purpose of not working and having those breaks. So for now, I hope it's cool with you. I like the rhythm of having 12 episodes and then having a break and then coming back with another 12. So I'm going to continue to do that. But thank you for being open to the idea of me rerunning episodes. I'm sure there will come a point in the future where that's truly valuable and also might be a necessity. So I'm going to save that, keep that in my back pocket for when I really need it. I had a wonderful time catching up with my friends on my camping holiday. Thanks to everyone who wrote me and tweeted me and sent me Facebook messages. And yes, it was amazing having a cabin with air conditioning and a room with a real bed to myself. That was a game changer. I don't know that I can ever go back. I'm ruined. The highlight of my vacation was actually catching up with my friend Keith, who is one of the primary people that I go to have a reunion with every Memorial Day weekend. He lives very close to the place where we go camping. So he was there waiting for me when I got there, and we hung out by the pool and had a lot of heart-to-heart and catch-up. And it was really cool because we've been friends for like 5 or 6 years now, and We've talked a lot about purpose and magic and manifesting and law of attraction. And all of these things have been new discoveries for him. And it's been interesting for me to kind of relive someone's spiritual awakening, you know, through our friendship. It's been very cool. One of the things that's been an ongoing theme for him is, you know, seeking his purpose. He's the same age as me, about a year older, maybe 6 months older, and he is going to be turning 50 in 6 months. And as I was sitting there over the course of a couple of days hanging out with him, we discovered his purpose. He discovered his purpose. I was there as some kind of assistant midwife scenario, and it was really cool. And he really acknowledged it. He was like, "How cool is this that I'm sitting here having this epiphany like right in front of you in the middle of a conversation?" And I said, "It's amazing, because you know, this is one of the main things that I love to talk about with my clients. It's one of my favorite subjects, and it's one of those things that I always feel like I had a pretty strong sense of purpose from a really, really early age. And I was very aware of the fact throughout my entire life that not everyone felt that way about their true north or their sense of a compass pointing them in a certain direction. And so I've always had a particular soft spot in my heart for being able to assist in that discovery in any way. So anyway, Keith had a true breakthrough around what he is going to do going forward. You know, a job and a career and a business venture that is an absolute extension of so many different parts of his personality. And it was really cool to brainstorm. I love to brainstorm. But I do have to say this one thing. Everyone's like, "Oh, did you have a great time? Are you so rested?" No, I'm not. At this moment, I literally never want to go anywhere ever again. Like, I don't even want to leave my house. No, I want to leave my house. I need to leave my house at least once a day. But I got to say, every time I travel, I try to tweak something to make it a little different. Now, when I go outside time zones, it really gets messed up. I am a very solid sleeper. Like, I sleep exactly 7.5 hours from basically 12:30 at night to 8 a.m. 7 days a week. I wake up at the same time with no alarm clock, and it very seldom do I have any kind of issue with that. And I consider it the basis of any kind of grounding. You know, we talk about grounding and feeling ungrounded. That's the core for me, right? And when I travel, I have horrible insomnia. And it doesn't matter what I do. I don't know if it's that I'm overstimulated by being around a bunch of people or being in a different place, or if my sleep is just so fragile that I can't do it anywhere but in my own bed. But it was really bad this time. And what upset me even more is I excluded drinking sugary liquors, like, for instance, the whiskey that I talked about in my past episode. I took that out. I thought, you know, I know for a fact that alcohol, liquor in particular, spirits, gives me insomnia. So I decided it would just be a little bit of beer, no big thing, and because beer usually doesn't affect me in that same kind of way. And that really isn't the issue. It's something bigger. I don't know what it is, but I was completely exhausted the whole time I was there, and I came home and I spent a whole week just recovering and feeling normal again. So anyway, yeah, like, I hate to be a wet blanket, but I do need to go and reboot and see different things and see different people. And, you know, I need to have some kind of way of executing a vacation and a start and a stop in my life. You know, it's something that we all need as a kind of seasonal rhythm. So I got to figure that out, because right now, and by the way, before everybody writes me with, you know, their various insomnia remedies and drug recommendations. One of the really bad things is there's a lot of different things that I do, some of them natural and homeopathic, some of them medical, that I can do for insomnia if I have it in the course of my everyday life. The bad thing is if I take anything when I'm in one of those situations where I'm having this overwhelming, oppressive insomnia like that, where it's just like the lights are on bright and nothing is getting turned off. If I take something while I'm in that state, it doesn't help me sleep. It just makes me drugged, and then it complicates the whole scenario, and it's a quick spiral downhill from there. So that's not really... Yeah, it's not as simple as like, oh, we'll take this while you're traveling. Mm-mm, no, that's not what the issue is. So anyway, I don't know. It doesn't really happen to me. It only happens to me when I travel. So anyway, I'm still glad I got to go. Thank you for giving me that break. Oh my God. So the other day I was in my favorite tea room working in the afternoons, as I often do. I go there to write, and these women came and sat next to me, and there were three of them. There was a younger woman who was kind of doing all the talking, and then a friend of hers who was close in age to her, and then apparently that friend's mom. Their energy was a little off as they were like moving through the space. I kind of, I don't know, bristled a little bit, but they sat right beside me. And then one of the younger women proceeded to proselytize about biblical scripture and to go into this big evangelical fundamentalist, you know, I don't know, whatever it was, come to Jesus moment with these other two women. And at one point she says to me, but isn't, not to me, she says to her friend, but I overheard it. She says, isn't it so amazing that Christianity can take these pagan holidays and fix them? And I was like, that did not just come out of her mouth. I mean, it was like Saturday Night Live skit level preposterousness. I mean, it was like someone was doing a Mad TV sketch about cultural appropriation, and she was playing like a ditzy white blonde church girl. And, you know, it went on from there. She extrapolated about her theories of how great it is that, you know, imperialism around the globe has had Christianity to take apart all the other cultures that it's encountered and assimilate them and fix them and make it all better. And so we don't have to have, you know, pagan holidays like, you know, I don't know, whatever, Easter, you know, the true version of that. It's now been, you know, made into something else. And I guess that was her point. I don't know where she was going with that, but I was having a really hard time in that moment keeping my mouth shut. I don't believe in, you know, leaning over and getting into fights with strangers in cafes. That's not something that I wanted to do. So I was really struggling in the moment because I also didn't want to create a scene that might adversely affect the women who run this space that I love. And I didn't want to do anything that might harm their business by running their customers off. I did, however, get a chance to talk to the owner about it, and she said she actually felt really validated by me telling her that, because the women were really difficult and really nasty to wait on, and she had like a horrible intuitive reaction to them and felt guilty about it initially. And after I told her about what they were talking about, she was like, ugh, that actually makes me feel better. So in that moment, you know, I chose to pick up my stuff and leave and get out of there. And I really was struggling with, you know, is it my place to stand in my strength and say, excuse me, but your attitude is literally everything that's wrong with humanity on the planet right now. But I was kind of praying about it, I guess, you know, as some people say, as she would say, I was praying about it as I left and as I got in the car, and I was kind of talking to Mother Mary, because I always go to Mother Mary whenever it's Christian stuff, because I feel like maybe she will help me somehow have some kind of compassion or empathy that I normally wouldn't. And one of the things that I realized was, you know, this girl is in this tea house, and she's proselytizing to all of two people. And by the expressions on the other two people's faces, I would say that maybe like one of them wanted to listen to her, and only that just to be polite. I could tell that they really weren't even all that receptive to the kind of good Lord's message that she was trying to impart on them. I don't know if she was there to convert them or bring them into her church or whatever the situation was, but it didn't even seem like they were that open to it. And I thought, you know what? I win because I can go and talk about this right now in this moment. You know, probably 1,000 of you are listening to this right when it comes out. And I thought, you know what? My 1,000 people beats your sad two little, you know, people crowd. And hopefully it is a numbers game on some level, and that my message just simply drowns hers out. I used to ask Mother Mary about this all the time, you know, about how to process my anger towards Christianity and fundamentalist religious people in general. I live in a part of the world where, you know, it's statistically very probable that the people next to you at a cafe are going to have these kind of conversations, and you're going to have to overhear them. So one of the things that I would get from Mother Mary when I would talk about this is this sort of message that the solution was for me to infiltrate their hearts and minds with alternatives. That's what she used to tell me. Infiltrate their hearts and minds with alternatives. So she basically gave me permission to, you know what, don't fight these people. Go and tell everyone something else. Something better. Make sure that there is a channel on for people to listen to other than the chick proselytizing about culture rape. This week, we also had some really cool news from Mars. The Curiosity rover has discovered conclusive evidence of organic compounds on Mars. That was a really big announcement just yesterday. And, you know, of course, there's an asterisk, and they talk about all the other ways other than life that could have produced those organic compounds. But it is still, you know, not ruling it out, and it is the first time that they've had this level of actual evidence. So I'm a big nerd when it comes to Mars. I think I've mentioned it to you guys before. I'm particularly interested in terraforming Mars, the colonization of Mars, the ancient past of Mars, and also, you know, the ancient future. It's something I love to read about, both in fiction. I always watch movies about it. I always watch documentaries about it. It's one of my kind of favorite passion subjects. So if you see something cool about Mars, tag me. I definitely want to check it out. But you know, it, whenever I go down the rabbit hole of like wondering about, you know, at some point in the solar system when there could have been life on Mars, and you know, that whole kind of thought process, I still want to know where Luna came from. You know, like I really want to, I'm a little bit obsessed with where the moon came from. And I'm also interested in what happened to the planet that was just beyond Mars. That's now what we call the asteroid belt. I mean, clearly it was like a planet there and it exploded. And there is rubble now circling the sun where a planet used to be. So my friend Brandon Ellis, who I've mentioned on the show before because he's a listener to the show, he's a science fiction author. His current series starts with a book called Project Atlantis, if you want to check that out. He loves this stuff, and he does a lot of amazing research that goes into his science fiction novels, and I love reading his posts on Facebook and his email newsletter because he talks about a lot of the sort of lore where some of this science kind of intersects with ancient sort of pre-religious spiritual history, I guess you could say. So he posted something a few months ago about Mars and Luna and Nibiru, which is what some people call Planet X, the source for a lot of the ancient alien civilization lore that we have. So anyway, shout out to Brandon if you're listening. I still want you to come on the show and just talk about some of that stuff. I don't even care if it really suits the subject matter of the podcast. I feel like for me personally, there's definitely a connection with the idea of spirituality and religion and science. And Brandon spends a lot of time. He has a lot more time than I do and a lot of official reasons to go digging for some of these stories and has them there at his disposal in a way that I don't. And I'd love to share some of that with you guys because I think you would find it cool as well. This week, I hate to fail to mention the suicides of Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. I particularly was a huge fan of Anthony Bourdain. So, of course, you know, I feel terrible for their families, and I feel terrible knowing what they must have been suffering through and the level of suffering that they must have been experiencing so recently. And I think a lot of us can relate. You know, either we've been there or maybe some of you are there right at this moment. One of the things that always happens to me, though, when something like that happens with a celebrity is I immediately have this flash of all the non-celebrity suicides around the world that happened this week. And the fact that, you know, yes, it is a blessing in some ways when it happens in, you know, the realm of celebrity and it ends up on the news because it does bring awareness to it and it makes people, sparks conversations, people are talking about it more and you know, sharing resources and all that kind of stuff. And I don't really have any great resource or advice to share. It's just that I feel a lot of empathy for the people who lost someone this week that none of us have ever heard of. Because to those people, it's a million times more impactful than a celebrity that they might have been a fan of. So my heart just really goes out to all the people who are suffering in this way. There's a book that I really love called Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler. It's a science fiction novel. And the cool thing about this novel, there are two books, Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents. And within these books, there is a young woman who is sort of bringing through or channeling or establishing a kind of new philosophy or new religion around the concept that God is change. And the character's diary entries at the beginning of the chapters, I've always wondered, you know, why Octavia or her publishers have not pulled all those together and put them together in some kind of book of their own, because they're really, really profound philosophical insights. But, you know, the concept of God being change is basically, you know, change is the core force in the universe. And this is something that someone who is experiencing a world in upheaval is kind of grasping at as a point of truth in our experience, that, you know, change is the only constant. And I always think, you know, if you're suffering, what you're really praying for is change, for things to change. And we're always riding some roller coaster of changes. And the thing about suicide is it takes away change, or it gives you one final change to kind of spend, and then there's no more. And I suppose that is its appeal to some. At a very desperate place, it is this ultimate definite change. But it's so final, and there's no room for miracles. And at the end of the day, you still are choosing between having one change or a potential infinite supply of them. And I can't help but want to see what those changes might be and where they might take me. Before I forget, I want to say a quick thank you to my latest supporters on Patreon, Marissa Bethany and Nan Scarborough, and a special thank you to Ken Gordhamer, who's a longtime loyal reader and listener. I appreciate all of you who have pledged your support at any level, and I'm really excited to see the new names each week. It demonstrates that you're enjoying the show and you want it to continue. That's very encouraging to me, so thank you. I have been praying for the last 2 years, meditating, ruminating, praying for some kind of guidance about how to scale my business. See, if you're successful as an intuitive, then your schedule fills up with people wanting readings, and that's a great problem to have, but there is a limit to how many readings you can do in a week or a month. My mentoring students and automatic intuition are also a huge priority for my one-on-one time, and I do not want to limit that in any way. So I've been talking to some of my friends who have quote-unquote bigger businesses than I do, and you know, their advice is nearly always about raising my prices, having higher rates, and working with fewer people. There was a period when my waiting list backed up so much that I did not book any new readings for 2 years. For 2 years, I just had this close sign on my readings page, come back later. And for a few years after that, I did charge much more than I do now. I did raise my rates, and that just didn't feel right. I don't want to talk to 10 people who just happen to have the disposable income to afford getting to talk to me. I want to reach tens of thousands of people. So late last summer during the eclipse, the idea of how to scale was just throbbing through my consciousness. I was obsessing about it. I couldn't see a way forward. I had only just set up the Patreon account, so I had no idea where that would go or how I might use that platform or whether or not you guys would support it. And last month, as I watched all your generosity push my goal past the finish line that I'd set, something started to emerge in the back of my mind. And while I was driving on my vacation last week, it fully popped open in my brain. This is scalable. This podcast is the scalable part of my business and my platform. It's where my creative energy happens to be right now. It's where your energy is as a consumer. And the coolest thing about it is it's the same work. It's the same process. It's the same amount of time, the same product, whether 1,000 of you are listening or 10,000 or 100,000. This is what we can take out there on a bigger and bigger scale. I want you to know, especially those of you who support the show, and there are a lot of ways you can do that. Leaving reviews and sharing with your friends on social media are both priceless options for supporting the show. I want you to understand what it means. You are the answer to those prayers and all that worry about where to go higher, how to make it bigger, how to go forward. Your generosity and participation through Patreon is like I got to the top of this building and there was nowhere to go, and then you guys dropped down in a spaceship and said, hey, this way, all the way up. Sky is the limit with this show. And I'm so grateful and really pumped to create more and to take it all to the next level. So thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, exclusive bonus episodes. There's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. This month, the featured course is Reach More, Teach More. It's a continuation of the tool I shared last month with Automatic Author. I know a lot of you listening are my fellow creative peers working on your own passion projects and side hustles and businesses, and this tutorial is a module from my graduate level professional intuitive business mentoring called Beyond Readings. This is a program that I do with graduates of Automatic Intuition or with people who already have established businesses and practices who want to take the income part of their business to another level. And as I was talking about for myself, scale their business. So this tutorial The scale issue that I was talking about affects everyone working in that one-to-one capacity, but this tutorial, Reach More, Teach More, will show you how to plan passive income streams. And that was the game changer for me at a major milestone along this journey. It's what allowed me to take being a professional intuitive and an author from a part-time situation to a full-time income. So very happy to share that with you. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing this show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. So the name Parking Angels kind of started out as a joke. It was just me being flippant. Friends would meet me out places, you know, we'd go out to dinner at night or go have cocktails on the weekends, going to some place kind of crowded or where it's hard to find parking. And there would always be some amazing space that I would get. And my car is very recognizable. I drive a Mini Cooper, and it's easy to get it into spaces that no one else could get into. But my friends who would meet me out would always be, you know, circling around looking for spaces and then hiking like a couple of blocks. And they get to the venue or location where we're going, and they would see my car like parked right in the front. And they're like, how does this happen to you? Like, how do you always get these amazing parking spaces? And I said, I have parking angels. And so one of the, I think I probably like bragged about it, you know, in a silly way about how, yeah, I have parking angels and I invoke them and they help me get good spaces and stuff. And I was being silly because it's such a kind of, you know, superficial thing to pray for, to use your guides for. But I do literally do it. There's more to it than that. And that's kind of what I want to share and get to. But you know, it was sort of a joke to my friends. My friends are not super mystical New Age people like I am. And they, you know, thought, haha, parking angels. Yeah, whatever, you're parking angels. But then I was riding with one of them who isn't particularly of a New Age inclination. And I was walking them through getting them a space. And I was invoking the parking angels and kind of did it like right in front of them and got them a space. And so I had this one convert who would then brag to my friends like, oh my God, I saw him do it. Like, it's like a real thing, you know, and they would joke about it and laugh about it. It was never really taken all that seriously, though I did take it seriously. I was seriously doing it and it did seriously work. And so one of the things that I started to do was, okay, well, when I'm not driving directly with people, but I'm meeting someone, I don't want to get there and have my rock star parking and then have to wait on them to stress and try to find a place and, you know, hike over to me. And, you know, I'm just sitting there by myself wondering if they're going to show up. So I started to invoke the parking angels to find them spaces as well. And so then people started to report that was happening, that was working for them. And I have a small core group of people. Like, the people I'm talking about are usually the same people that I'm meeting within, you know, a circle of about six people. So the key was, though, is I started to tell them, yeah, I am going to invoke the parking angels for you as well, meet you there at 7 or whatever. And I think expecting outcomes is powerful. Well, I don't think that. I actually know that. I truly believe that. I think the expectation of this outcome is manifesting, right? So I would sort of trick them into manifesting or sort of guide them through the thought process of manifesting these scenarios. So one of the friends in my group of parking angel disciples is my friend Rebecca, who I call Bex. And I hope Rebecca is listening to this episode, because I think if she sees the title, she's going to grab it out of her feed and listen to it. So shout out, girl, special request, parking angels just for you. Bex is one of the people who told me recently that she sort of divines the topics in the feed and sort of randomly or sort of feels her way into picking a certain episode that she thinks she might need to hear at that given moment in time. So she doesn't necessarily listen to them in order. But I feel like the parking angels keyword is going to glare out at her. So I hope she's listening right now. Anyway, Bex and I became friends working in cafes, meaning we're one of the tribe of mobile people who work, you know, take our laptops and do our self-employment businesses from cafes and places that have public Wi-Fi. So she and I started to share tables a lot because once we became friends, then it opened up the possibility that we could save tables for each other or save a space for each other, whoever got there first kind of thing. So we started to share tables a lot, which only increased our friendship. And we would get into these conversations about things like parking angels. At one point, Bex used to text me questions. There'd be these new age kind of basic philosophical questions. And I would often have a blog post that I'd written about it. And I would go to my archive and punch it into the search bar and like, oh yeah, there's that article. And then I would send her the link to it. And it was kind of funny because for a while, there was a period where I was running a lot of newsletter content that I was pulling from my archives. And so sometimes I had a hard time deciding, well, what should I pull out of the archives and, you know, share with everyone this week? And so I just told her, you know, to just keep asking me those questions. Sometimes I would literally text her on a Friday and say, hey, what's your like burning philosophical new age question this week? And she would ask me something. And I, sure enough, I'd go and find something in my archives and put it out there. So anyway, we had this ongoing kind of back and forth relationship where she was somebody who was very open to these topics, but also maybe somewhat new to them, at least getting to know me as a friend, and also one of the few friends that I have that's probably really gone fairly deep into some of my content and what I do. Bex is also one of my public relations advisors, and so we talk a lot about social media and, you know, sharing my messages and things like that. So she has a little bit of interest for different reasons. So she started to take this whole parking angels thing really seriously, and she was asking me about her parking angels. And one time she asked me something along the lines of, okay, so how do I get parking angels? And I was like, you already have them. You know, it's just your angels. It's just your guides. It's not really anything about parking. I just use that term as like a silly way of being playful about the whole parking space thing. But that's not all that it encompasses. And so, you know, other situations that I ask for assistance or protection around, just any kind of driving in general, I have a lot of anxiety about cars and high-speed scenarios and all the, you know, thousands of moving parts that are happening on our highways. So I'm always invoking angels around driving. Any kind of long trip, especially on the highway, places that I'm not familiar driving, I will invoke them for that. Really bad congestion in larger cities. I lived in Atlanta for many, many years. And so whenever I'm visiting there, there's a lot that can go wrong that can ruin your day if you are traveling in Atlanta. So I'll often invoke them through congested parts of Atlanta that I know I'm going to be passing through. I invoke them for finding things that I'm looking for in stores when I'm going out shopping for something. I invoke them for important meetings or appointments that I have. Finding my way somewhere that I've never been before can be a little stressful for me, especially if it's something important like a doctor's appointment or some kind of bureaucracy that I'm interfacing with. And it's kind of like an intuitive GPS thing, like help me, you know, figure out where it is that I'm going and get there. Also, walking through some kind of sketchy parking garage situation, or if you're a woman, you know, and you work at the mall and you have to park really, really far out away from the store, and so you're having to walk across these dark parking lots at night. I also started to send my quote-unquote parking angels to people that I would see pulled over on the side of the road that were having some kind of car trouble. Obviously, most people are on their cell phones these days. They don't really need you to pull over. Oftentimes, I see someone that's already got assistance, but I still always just sort of send some parking angels to them because I know their flow has been interrupted in a major way. Finding people in crowds, like when I'm going somewhere downtown, there's often these kind of street fair situations and I'm meeting people, and I'll invoke my angels to help me connect with the people that I'm looking for. Also, you know, meeting people that I didn't explicitly plan to run into, like the camping trip that I was talking about going on. I often see people that I only see in that environment. And so I like to place just sort of a general invitation that I will run into some of the people that I'm not super close to, but that I would like to see and interact with. So anyway, it's about any kind of timing, really. This is not about parking spaces. It's about being in flow. It's about the effortless way that you are carried to where you need to be, as opposed to always, you know, trying to swim upstream or to control that. It's actually happens without our need to control it. And so invoking the parking angels is a cheeky way of consciously intending to allow myself to be in the flow and just, you know, asking that myself and my guides and anyone involved, any part of my brain that is responsible for what is happening or interfacing with what is happening, to just allow things to happen and to be in a relaxed state that, you know, allows good things to happen in a timely fashion in the way that they're meant to happen for the best of everyone involved. It's kind of a big, you know, spell of being in the world. So Bex recently moved into a new house, and she said that she kept finding coins in the driveway of her new place. And that reminded me, I'm going to go on a tangent here a little bit, but I was telling her about the penny charm, which is a spell for inviting protection from the spirits that live in a house that you're moving into. Like the spirits that are already there and like bound to that place. It's a way of invoking them, letting you know that you're not there to run them off or anything, that you're there to cohabitate with them and to invite them to, you know, be your friend and to watch out for you and to offer you their protection. And so it's something that I wrote about many years ago in one of my paranormal memoirs. So I'll link to that in the show notes. I can't remember what the title of that particular post is called. Maybe I should record those memoirs. There's a little series of those that has the penny charm in it. Anyway, here's what the penny charm is in a nutshell. You move into a new place. It's clean. You clean the floors, whatever. You invoke the spirits and ask them, you know, hey, introduce yourself to them, whatever it is that you feel like would be a friendly way to engage with them. Think of them as comparable to like the neighbors that are living next door in this new place. So you invoke the spirits, let them know who you are, ask them to be cool with you and to protect you. And you leave or you go to sleep or whatever it is, you'll notice within the next, you know, few hours, the next time you return, that there'll be a coin on the floor. And you'll find a coin somewhere near an external door or window. So what you do when you find that coin is you thank them. It's kind of like their signature on the contract. And you're supposed to put the coin on the window casing or the door frame of the closest external window or door leading outside. So don't do it over the interior door in that room, wherever the closest window, or if there is an exterior doorway in and out, that's where the penny goes. And it stays there the entire time that you live there, and it is a contract between you and the spirits that protects you. And I can't even tell you how I know this or where that came to me, but it goes way, way back to when I first started renting lots of houses when I was a teenager and I went away to college. I lived in a lot of places and a lot of cool old houses in particular. And they would have these wonderful big, thick moldings and casings on the windows and doors. Anyway, it was very easy to put those up there. But even in a modern house, you ought to be able to get a penny on the top of the window frame. So I was telling her about that whole thing because I was like, oh yeah, you just moved into a new place. You don't know the penny charm. Let me tell it to you and let you do it. So it's kind of like ended up being this really perfect example of a quote unquote teachable moment, because she did the spell and then she texted me that it wasn't working. She was like, well, you know, I did it. I'm not seeing any coins anywhere. But meanwhile, she continues to find these gobs of change in her driveway, like a lot of it. Every single time she comes back, there's more on the driveway and on the walk up the porch. Every time she left and came back, got out of the car, there's more coins. And she texted me about it, and I was like, girl, maybe they're leaving them on your porch. You know, like, you did this spell and you asked for coins and you're like, there's no coins in my house. Meanwhile, there's like a rain of pocket change going on outside. And I just thought, you know, maybe your driveway is, you know, it is kind of a precarious driveway. There's sort of a dangerous drop off. So maybe they felt like, you know, girl, you really need this, you know, protection around the driveway area. And so that's where they're putting it. But anyway, I just thought it was very interesting that this is so characteristic of how we judge ourselves, right? And our intuition and our ability to kind of invoke these paranormal phenomena and all this. We, you know, say, I keep asking for signs in my dreams and nothing's happening. But meanwhile, you know, you're seeing number sequences everywhere. Or I can't hear anything when I try to talk to my guides, but meanwhile, you know, you're finding feathers on the ground or whatever it is. So this often comes up in the automatic intuition program. We'll have some kind of conversations. People always get very hung up on the thing that they can't do. You know, they get really stuck on the fact that they can't see an aura or something like that. And they're just beating their heads against the wall. I want to see this aura. I want to see this aura. Meanwhile, you know, they're great at automatic writing. They get tons of information in their dreams. There's all these other avenues where they're getting lots of stuff. And so my theory is drill deeper wherever it is that you're getting a beep on the metal detector. You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about the places that you're waving your detector and you're not getting anything, because there's nothing there. So don't waste your time on it. You know, drill down where you're getting something. That's where your treasure is. So it just makes sense to put more effort there. But it's human nature for us to be like, what am I doing wrong? Why aren't they answering me the way I told them to? You know, maybe none of this is about anything external. Maybe invoking parking angels is just that conscious reminder of intent that I talked about. It's certainly not about parking or getting the last concert ticket. It's about being in the flow, being at the right place at the right time, which actually is acknowledging that you're always in the right place at the right time. You're always where you're supposed to be. Parking angels are the guides that keep us in the flow of the present. You're safe, you're protected, you're fine. I got this mantra from my friend Frank Butterfield, who's a channel that's been on the show. I was listening to him on another person's podcast. I think it was Lori Ferrance's podcast. And he shared this mantra, everything is always working out for me. And I heard that several months ago. And I'm an anxious person. By nature, I experience a lot of anxiety. I am a catastrophizer. a large part of my fear-based ego and imagination is spent creating imaginary scenarios for things that could go wrong, things that could not work out. What if I can't find a parking space and I'm late for my appointment and they cancel it and then I have to come back? What if I get there too late and everyone is left? And you know, like I just will make up these stupid scenarios that may never happen. They don't happen. But it is an anxiety to hear that channel, to hear those voices within you. It's like a bad habit. It's mental hygiene. And so I adopted Frank's mantra, everything is always working out for me. And I say that whenever I start to hear the catastrophizing voices, they sort of start to whisper in the background and, you know, tweet amongst themselves. And I'm like, nope, stop. Everything is always working out for me. Because all those catastrophized thoughts and scenarios you had, and then you get there and everything works out fine, right? The parking angels were in effect. And these are all games, really. You know, they're games that we play with ourselves. We may be engaging real forces of, I don't know, biology or quantum physics or spirituality. I don't have the explanation for how these mechanisms work. I don't know if it's all placebo. I don't know if the law of attraction is inside us or outside of us. I don't really think it matters because I'm stuck in here with the catastrophizing voices in a bubble within my own head. And so one of my greatest weapons to shut them up is everything is always working out for me. And the parking angels have a lot to do with that. Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message and answer to a question or a concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. You can't miss what is meant for you. You can't miss out on your own destiny. Hopefully you're reassured by that. If you're agonizing over a decision or overthinking a choice you already made, if fear of choosing the wrong thing is keeping you in an inactive state of analysis paralysis, does knowing you can't miss what is meant for you restore your faith, at least just a little bit? This week, have a little bit more faith and trust your choices. I'll talk to you later.